My bitch bad, straight mastermind. Yo, rich ass, my cup full, full of that pink shit. So shut your fucking mouth, fuck all that weak shit. This double MG shit, double MG shit. She fucked my whole squad, she double MG bitch. Just got that G wagon, I'm just so innovative. We came for the money bags, so fuck your invitations. This call for celebration. Bell at celebration. 60 hoes in the basement. Nigga covered all the bases.
Yeah. What's going on, family? Welcome to the Tariq Elite Radio Show. I am your gracious host, Mr. Tariq Elite. Glad to have everybody tuning in. I had to bump that new Rick Ross because Rick Ross got locked up today. Rick Ross pistol whipped one of his day laborers or something like that. So I had to bump a little Rick Ross. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit later on the show. But the phone number, family, is 818-850-5404. Call into the Tariq Elite Radio Show. We're going to chop up some real good games. And what we're going to do real quick, we're going to take a commercial break. Don't forget to get tickets to join me live on tour. TariqLive.com. That's where you can get tickets to join me on tour next week. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to take a real quick commercial break, family. And when I come back, we're going to chop up some real good game right here on Tariq Elite Radio Show. So don't go nowhere.
On August 1st in Chicago, Illinois, Black Channel Films will be hosting an historic three-hour roundtable with Dr. Boyce Watkins, Dr. Claude Anderson, and attorney Alton Maddox to discuss the creation of a black business district for the first time since the original Black Wall Streets and how you can get involved. Don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime event. That's August 1st in Chicago, Illinois. Get tickets now at theblackchannel.net. That's theblackchannel.net.
Yo, check out my man Kevin Gentry and his website, BecomeRichFamousFast.com. Kevin has a one-on-one private school coaching website, and he will teach you everything you need to know about the game. And you can call him directly at 404-207-5640. Call Kevin up and he will teach you everything you need to know about being a true player and having real, real tight game. So check out BecomeRichFamousFast.com.
Get ready to join New York Times best-selling author and critically acclaimed filmmaker Tariq Nasheed live on the Code of Conduct Lecture Tour this summer. Sunday, July 5th at the International House of Philadelphia in the city of Philadelphia. Saturday, July 5th at the Alliance Theater in Atlanta. And Saturday, July 18th at the Southfield Center in Detroit. Get tickets now at www.tariqlive.com. That's TariqLive.com.
Hey, what's up? It's dating and life coach Mr. Locario. Go to badboymembership.com and master the dating game by joining my Bad Boy Membership Program. In this program, you'll receive 45 through 90 minute, easy to follow, step-by-step dating advice tutorials that's guaranteed to help you attract, date, and have sex with beautiful women. Join the Bad Boy Membership today by going to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
You are now tuning in to the king of game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
This guy just twist around like a tornado, girl.
All right, we are back right here on the Tariq Elite Radio Show. And I am your gracious host, Mr. Tariq Elite. Ready to chop up some good game with the family. And don't forget, family, go to HiddenColorsFilm.com to get all those fly Hidden Colors DVDs. We're still filming Hidden Colors 4 right now. I just filmed a brother named Robin Walker. I flew him out here from the UK. And this brother has so much in-depth knowledge about African history. And the brother hit me up with a book that he wrote. He wrote several books, but this brother, his books are just so meticulously detailed about African history, African civilizations, and a lot of misconceptions that we have. And I can't wait to y'all hear some of the good information my brother was dropping. And we're going to be filming brother Phil Valentine again this Friday for Hidden Colors 4. So we're making it do what it do. I'm still trying to get a hold of Minister Farrakhan. I do still want to get Minister Farrakhan for Hidden Colors 4. That's my ideal thing. I keep running into different people who acting like they got a connection with the brother. So that's kind of slowing it up. You know, everybody I meet, I keep meeting these quote-unquote relatives, quote-unquote assistant ministers, quote-unquote this and that. You know, you dig? So I still want to get Minister Farrakhan for Hidden Colors 4. So if anybody can give me a lifeline on that, that would be great. But like I said earlier at the beginning of the show, Rick Ross, the rapper Rick Ross, he's been arrested for kidnapping, assault. It was some type of altercation. Him and his bodyguard allegedly pistol whipped one of his employees at his house out there in Atlanta. And from what I understand, Rick Ross was arrested earlier this year for marijuana charges or something like that. So I don't know what's going on with brother, man. Y'all can't be trying to live out your lyrics. And these cops out here, man, law enforcement, man, they got an angle on you. They're trying to look for reasons to get at you. Like Puff Daddy, Puffy, P. Diddy, whatever he wants to call himself. Now, Puffy got into an altercation with his son's football coach. I think out here in UCLA, I think. And the coach said that Puffy tried to hit him with a kettlebell or some shit. And now Puffy was charged with not only assault, but making terroristic threats. Now, that's interesting because you have this killer out here in South Carolina that people are trying to get terroristic charges placed on him for actually murdering people, including a politician. And they have yet to charge him with any kind of terrorism charge. But Puffy got charged with a terrorism charge based on threats. This is why y'all black folks stop pretending that we're not living in a system of white supremacy, including Puffy. Because if y'all remember last month, Puffy put out some tweets talking about, yeah, Black Lives Matter, but we gotta respect ourselves as black people. He did a little soft shoeing with it. Puffy was talking all that we black folks need to do better and that's gonna stop white supremacy. He was kind of on that. Now look what happened. He got his number charged. See, black folks, you think that you're going to keep your little safe position by playing the, well, what about black on black crime role? And that ain't working these days. They don't give a damn about you trying to get in good with the white supremacists talking about what about black on black crime, because these white supremacists are not playing. They're circling their wagons on you. So this just goes to show that soft shoe cooning, that don't pay like it used to. The phone number again is 818-850-5404, family. We talked about on the Ustream show how we need some people in the dominant society to do some soft shoe cooning for us. We need some, like we said, white crispies or rice crispies. Somebody that will go in the dominant white society undercover, basically, and report back to us some of the white supremacist views and actions that's going on in white society. We need people like that. We call them wispies, meaning white crispies or rice crispies. We need more of that. And there was a rice crispie that came out today. A former police officer for the Baltimore police, his name was Michael A. Wood. He came out on Twitter talking about the racism and the corruption with the Baltimore police and how, you know, they target black males. And he came clean since he's off the force, but that's good. That's good enough. I commend him. I commend him for standing up against the white supremacists in the dominant society. We need more of that. Because the white supremacists, they've made an art out of denial. So we definitely need that. Let's see who we got on the phone here. The phone lines are lighting up. Let's see who we got. Hold on. Come on, phone line. What's up? Who's calling?
This is Darrell Murray. Nice to meet you, brother Tariq.
Darrell, where you calling from, brother?
Fresno, California, brother.
Fresno. What's on your mind, man?
Oh, man, a lot. I want to know why black folks come act like this is a hoax. Chalk and cute.
Now, who's acting like what is a hoax, brother?
Alex Jones, a couple other black folks I see.
Well, black folks, Alex Jones is not black. You know that, right?
Yeah, I know that. But he had a couple of speakers, a reverend. I forgot the reverend name. I think it was the boy you debated. The black guy.
Jesse Lee Peterson?
The black guy with the mush mouth.
Jesse Lee Peterson, man. All right, man, thank you for the call, brother. Thank you. Okay, my man is confused, brother. Okay, I don't want to waste time with confusion, brother. When y'all call up, know what you're going to say, know your names. I'm not here trying to play goddamn Jeopardy. I'm not trying to guess niggas' names and all. Come on, man. Y'all got to be on top of your game, brothers. Be on top of your game when you call so we don't have to play Scrabble when you call up. I don't feel like sitting up here wasting 10, 15 minutes guessing different names. All right, what's up? Who's calling? Hello? All right, come on, man. Y'all got to have your shit together. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, how you doing? This is Alex calling from Fort Worth, Texas.
Hey, man, what's going on with you, fam?
Hey, man, I had wanted to just touch on the whole Confederate flag thing real quick.
Yeah.
Everybody wanted to get rid of the Confederate flag and all that, but let us not forget about the motherfucking money that came from under that flag and our current flag. Let us not forget that, and that's all I want to say.
Thank you, brother. You know, there's a real big debate right now because of the shootings that that happened in South Carolina, the terroristic shootings of Dylan Roof. There's now a debate whether people should take the Confederate flag down from a lot of state buildings and Capitol buildings, and they should. They should. Now, places like Walmart, and I know Amazon and eBay, they're not selling items with Confederate flags on them, and that's good. And I don't want it to just stop there. That's a start. See, let's not get caught up in symbolic victories. That's a start. They should have been taking that shit down because those are symbols of Nazism. Those are symbols of Nazism. And, you know, they're taking the Confederate flags down off certain buildings around the country. And there's a big pushback from suspected white supremacists. I've been hearing debates. People are talking about, well, the Confederate flag isn't racist. It's about Southern heritage. The Confederate flag is about Southern states protecting themselves. But then you have to ask the question. Okay, so what's the heritage that they're trying to maintain? What are the Southern heritages that they're trying to maintain? What's the Southern heritage? The heritage was keeping black people in antebellum slavery, keeping black people working on plantations under white supremacists. That was the heritage. When they talk about the Confederate flag was about the South protecting the Southern states, protecting them from what? So you always have to go deeper into the question. See, the white supremacists are very slick. Protecting them from what? From having their slaves taken from them. That's what they were trying to protect their plantations, protect slavery, protect the institution of slavery. So let's not try to pretend that the goddamn Confederate flag isn't a symbol of overt white supremacy. Stories came out today talking about the person who actually designed the Confederate flag back in the 1800s. It's a guy named William Thompson. It was a guy named William Thompson. He was an editor for the Savannah, Georgia Daily Morning News. And he designed the Confederate flag. And these are his words on why he created the flag. This is the guy who designed the flag. So all the people talking about the flag ain't racist and all that, these are the words of the person who designed the flag, William Thompson. Now, you guys can Wikipedia this, by the way. He said in an editorial, "Our idea is to simply combine the present battle flag with a pure white standard sheet, our Southern cross, blue on a red field, to take the place on the white flag that is occupied by the blue Union in the old United States flag or the St. George's cross in the British flag. As a people, we are fighting to maintain the heaven-ordained supremacy of the white man over the inferior or colored race. The guy who designed the Confederate flag said that with his own mouth. And he said this in different variations over and over again. Here's another quote. He argued, as a people, we're fighting to maintain the supremacy of the white man over the inferior colored race. Such a flag will soon take rank among the proudest ensigns of the nation and be hailed by the civilized world as the white man's flag. He goes on to say, as a national emblem, it is significant of our higher cause, the cause of a superior race and a higher civilization contending against ignorance, infidelity, and barbarism. He keeps going on and on about how it's about white supremacy, the white man's flag, the inferior colors. I mean, this motherfucker just went on and on and on about how it's about white supremacy. So please let people know who's all out here trying to justify this flag as being some type of heritage. It's a heritage of trying to maintain white supremacy. And the white supremacists are very slick. They can get a couple of coons. There's a few mentally deranged coons out here who walk around with the Confederate flag on and they hold the flag. These are mentally ill people who have been subjugated by white supremacy. So I blame the white supremacists for their mental illness. Let's see who else we got on the phone. What's up? Who's calling? Wait, what? Hold on. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, Tariq. This is Tina from New York.
Tina from New York. How are you, love?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. What's on your mind?
I just had a quick question. I've been dating this guy for a couple months. And, you know, he spends all his time with me all the time. Like, we're together every day. But he won't take me to where he stays or introduce me to any of his family members.
Oh. Now, how long y'all been dating?
For about 9 months.
9 months. Okay. But you've never been to his house or you've never seen his family members?
Nope.
Okay. So, are you familiar with the term side piece?
Yeah, I thought about it, but it's like he spends all of his time with me, so I don't know. Like, I was trying to figure out where he finds time to be with his main chick if I am a side chick.
Well, the thing is, he spends a lot. Some dudes will spend a lot of time in strip joints. Some dudes go to strip joints every day, but they might have a little situation going on at home. If you ain't up in somebody's house, you ain't been around some dude's house, and you've been dealing with him for 9 months, and you haven't been to his home, that's a major red flag. What reason would he have not to have you at his house?
I honestly don't know.
You haven't asked in 9 months, sister?
I have.
What did he say?
It'll be a bunch of different stuff like, oh, you know, I have trust issues with women and just different stuff like that.
That nigga lives with his baby's mom or his chick. He lives with a chick. Does he call you from his house?
He has a cell phone.
Right.
Yeah, he'll be home and hit me up.
Is it at particular times?
No, it's like I'll call you, answer whenever I call, and he spends like all his time with me, like all the time, straight from work over, like that. So I thought about it honestly, but I just couldn't figure out, you know, where the time would be in regards to that.
And let me play the devil's advocate. Now, the only other reason, and I'm reaching here, is if the guy might be embarrassed of his spot. He might live in a raggedy spot. And he could be embarrassed. That's the only other reason I could think. But if it's not that reason, the dude definitely has a side chick. What part of town does he live in?
He lives in the Bronx.
Okay. Is it a pretty decent spot he live in?
I'm assuming so. I don't know. I've never really been.
Yeah, but dude got a lady, and you deserve better. You understand that? Do you feel like you deserve mm-hmm. better?
I do, but I'm not trying to, like, you know, I'm not trying to make it too much of an issue because he's saying he has trust issue with women. I'm trying to be understanding of that.
But still.
But I just feel like it's been a minute.
Can I play? Let me play an inspirational song for you. I got an inspirational song for you. Hold on.
I thought a mother's kind of love was supposed to be.
Let me play a little inspiration for you because you've been dealing with a dude for 9 months and you're going for weak lies.
Dare you left this world.
And the dude, he hasn't even gave you a battery for your alarm chirping in the back. Your alarm is chirping. You ain't been to his house. You deserve better.
You denied.
He's denied you the love. No. I want you to stay here and feel this. This is an intervention. This is an intervention, Tina. Because you deserve better. Listen.
I deserve.
Sing it. I deserve to be.
I deserve.
You deserve love,
I deserve.
Tina.
I deserve.
You deserve it, goddammit.
Oh, I deserve.
You don't need to be nobody's side piece.
I deserve.
You deserve to be loved. You deserve to have a new alarm system with a battery in it. You deserve to know where this nigga live. You understand?
Yeah.
And when you see him, say, look, nigga, I deserve a key to your house. I deserve to know if you got a baby mama. You deserve to know, Tina. All right?
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for the call, Tina. God damn.
Bye.
You deserve to know. It doesn't matter. You shouldn't stay. I deserve to know. All right, anyway, shit. She deserved to know. She don't want to know. I put my Mackie music back on. You're dealing with a dude for 9 months. And he's still running whack game on you. He must be licking you down real good for you to fall for the whack game. 9 months and you ain't been up in this nigga's spot? Come on. I should ask how old she was. She might have been young. But sometimes these niggas be licking you real good and they be licking confusion in your ass. You'll buy anything. That nigga be licking ass and tank like groceries and then you believe anything this nigga say. Like, hey, you can't come to my house because I'm a secret agent. All right? And I'm on a mission. So, you know, there's a lot of technology at my apartment. So, you know, you can't interfere with my little FBI activity. See, that's why I got to be real low key about this thing. So I'm going to have to meet you at Olive Garden down the street. Okay. You deserve, woman. You don't deserve lies. Oh, my God. All right, let's see who else we got on the phone. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, what's going on, Tyree? This is Quentin from South Carolina.
Quentin from South Carolina. What part of South Carolina you in, fam?
Well, actually, I'm from Florence, South Carolina. I'm calling for Florence. And with the incident that happened in Charleston, I'm like 2 hours away from Charleston.
Oh, wow. Wow, wow. So what's the vibe out there now, fam?
Well, I haven't been there to Charleston yet. But in Florence, I mean, people is like mixed feelings or whatnot.
Why are their feelings mixed? What the hell is there to be mixed about? What's the confusion? I would love
the thing about it is, I mean, you got some people here that actually support white folks. You got some people that ain't with it.
It's not support white folks. I mean, white folks aren't bad. So support,
yeah. I know. All of them ain't bad, but. The thing about it is you got to have your eye on all of them now.
Yeah, just anybody, if they are suspected white supremacists, if they seem like they're going to do something that looks like it could be a form of white supremacy, I can understand that, but that's the only issue that we should be focusing on anyway.
Oh, yeah.
That's my thing. What are they trying to do about white supremacy? And how are they going to protect themselves from white supremacy? Are they still running around there trying to pray away the bullets and all that old dumb shit?
Well, the thing about it is some white folks around here, they don't see no problem with what actually happened down there in Charleston.
Well, those are white supremacists. Those are white supremacists, and you got to, again, I know a lot of people out here in the dominant white society who are white supremacists who don't feel like anything was wrong with it. There are even some politicians kind of low-key making excuses about it and all that stuff. So again, black folks are going to have to protect themselves from this nonsense.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway,
oh, yeah. Yes, indeed.
Yes, indeed. But thanks for the call, fam. And also, let me.
Okay.
I did an interview. And let me play that interview here, as a matter of fact. I did an interview with the LBC radio station out there in the UK, in Britain. I did an interview with them, and I'm going to play it here. Talking about it, talking about white supremacy and the whole shebang. And let me let y'all hear that right now. Let me turn my Mac and music off for a quick second. And this is the interview right here for those who have not heard it on my Facebook and Twitter.
When three men, including the church pastor, were killed. It's a hate crimes investigation that has been launched on this, and that's how this is being viewed.
And please excuse the quality. The quality is a little janky. It's a little low, but bear with me.
How do you, when you look at what appears to be a diluting of racial harmony in the United States, how do you think we do in this country in that respect? I don't think we're seeing anything quite as bad as this. But of course, you know, there are certainly cases where the Metropolitan Police have been accused of being too trigger happy. Mark Duggan, of course, being the latest high-profile story. Now, this was a few years ago now, but many people still very unhappy. It spawned the London riots just a couple of years ago. 0345-6060-973. Let's speak with Tariq Nasheed. Tariq is an American author, producer, radio host, and social commentator on African-American social history. Tariq, good evening to you, sir.
Good evening.
And it's
being here.
Yeah, it's nice to have you with us. Listen, it's interesting when a hate crimes investigation has been launched on this. Is that the right approach here?
No, not at all, because this is not a hate crime. This is domestic terrorism. And what happens whenever there is a person of color who commits heinous acts like this, they immediately identify it as terrorism or thuggery, and they give it these very, very distinct terms. But when you use the term hate crime, hate is based on an emotion, and this wasn't an emotional attack that happened. This was very deliberate, and it was meant to terrorize the black American community.
Yeah, I'm looking at photographs of this Dylan Roof guy, and he's wearing badges from the apartheid era of South Africa, which I think feeds into the kind of point you're making.
Absolutely, and the timing and the location of the attack, it had very much symbolic value. The church was founded by a former slave called Denmark Vesey, who was a freedom fighter, and his life is very significant because he was going to lead a big rebellion in the 17 and 1800s against the white population in South Carolina. And also, that location was a popular place for the Underground Railroad, and also, this was the Juneteenth celebration where the freedom of African slaves was celebrated. So this was a very significant time, and it was a very significant place. And the way he did it was very heinous, and it was very deliberate.
Indeed. Many people would just look at this, though, Tariq, and say, look, you know, this guy was clearly nuts, and he had murderous intent, and he had hatred within him, and he acted on it. It's a sad state of affairs. It clearly is racially motivated, but it has to be left in that context. Are you saying something more is going on here?
Yeah, something more is going there, because we have a system of white supremacy where we are, and this happens a lot, not in this capacity where nine people were just blatantly shot, but we have a system of white supremacy where you have police officers who are not really police officers. I call them race soldiers. You have officers in the United States who send emails to each other with racial epithets, and then they go out and act on these racial epithets, and this is why so many black people who are innocent and unarmed are being shot in the back and mowed down by police officers or race soldiers acting as police officers out here, and you have vigilantes attacking black people. So it's not a case of people being mentally ill. Black people in America are being systematically targeted, and this is genocide, and I don't know why the international courts and the UN, they don't recognize that.
So you think there is almost a program of genocide from some?
Absolutely. In this country, and I noticed when you began the show, you said there's a diluting of racial harmony, and I would like to know when racial harmony was not diluted. We've always had systematic white supremacy in America, where black people were on the bottom and people classified as white were on the top. So I don't know when there was ever this harmonious period in our country or in society where people lived in harmony without the system of white supremacy. It has always existed in our system, and we have not figured out how to deal with that, because now we keep sweeping it under the rug. We use a lot of code words. Whenever black people get harmed, we say things like, well, they were resisting arrest, they should not have run, they should have pulled their pants up, what about black-on-black crime? But with this situation here, you can't really divert or get away from the fact that this was a very deliberate racial attack. This shooter, this killer, this terrorist, he didn't use any code words. He was very specific about why he was shooting black people and who he was shooting. So we can't hide from the fact that this is racial, and we have to learn how to deal with that in this country. I mean, and around the world, because I was just over there in London, and they're dealing with the same thing over there, too, in a different capacity. Mm.
You mentioned white supremacy, but, of course, you know, your president's a black guy, so... It's not that bad, Tariq, is it?
It is that bad, because one person in a token position whose power doesn't trickle down to help the black masses, that means absolutely nothing. It's just symbolic. So having a symbolic token person in a position means absolutely nothing. And that's
how is he symbolic? He was voted by the people of the United States.
But he's symbolic because he cannot do anything for other black people. So that's not progress for black people collectively. That's just progress for him.
But you have black mayors, you have black senators, you have black politicians, you have black actors, you have black activists. You have a proud history, do you not, of blacks in high-profile positions?
You're pointing to a very small handful of people who, again, do not represent the black masses. White supremacy is a global group phenomenon. That's why you can't point to certain people and say, this is your representative. But you can point to the handful of black people who've been elevated out of the crab barrel, so to speak, but they don't represent the black masses. You can have a LeBron James, but for every LeBron James, there's 100,000 black people suffering at the hands of white supremacy economically.
So back to Dylann Roof, the man who has been arrested then for this crime. You would comfortably link this in with other crimes, including police crimes against blacks in the United States. You believe this to be a linked pattern?
It is, because the thing is, we live in a system, again, of white supremacy where black people are being attacked, and usually attacked legally. And what happens is that we have law enforcement or race soldiers acting in the capacity of law enforcement who have normalized harming black people. In this country, they used to lynch black people as a sport. So black people being harmed in this country has always been some form of religious right. So that pattern is still being recognized, and it's still being utilized and exercised right now. So I'm not shocked about what happened today, because actually I've been warning a lot of black people that this would happen sooner or later, because black people keep getting attacked nonstop and nobody's addressing the elephant in the room, which is white supremacy.
Has it got better, though, even if it's not at the pace you would like to see it, Tariq? People in positions of power, I mean, I'm assuming if your president's a black guy, it must have at least improved.
I don't see how having a person who can't really help me in a certain position improve my lot in life. President Obama can't even mention African-American people, let alone do anything, without getting massive backlash from the dominant white society. So Barack Obama has not done anything specific for the black community because he's not been allowed to do so. Again, we have these token people that's put in these positions who cannot do anything for the black masses, and the white supremacists say, hey, look, that's progress. And that's not progress whatsoever. We have gone into one big circle. In the 1960s, we had riots all over the place, and there were church bombings where black people were getting killed in church. It's 2015. There were riots all this year, and black people just got murdered at a church last night. We have not moved one iota. We've just gone in one big circle of white supremacy because we won't deal with white supremacy.
And you believe this to be a global issue, not just an American one. I mean, Obama said that we, you know, this is something that only happens here. But you think it's wider than that?
It's wider than that. White supremacy is global. White supremacy is there in Europe. I just did a sold-out lecture in Europe a few months ago, and they were saying the same thing. The police are targeting people of African descent unjustly. You have the economic disenfranchisement of people of African descent, even on the continent of Africa, which has been colonized by the white supremacists. They put in their puppet governments, and they control Africa economically. So white supremacy is a global phenomenon, and that's something that we keep using code words for, we keep deflecting away from. But we're going to have to start confronting the system of white supremacy and try to replace that with a system of justice.
Listen, Tariq, really fascinating speaking with you, and I know you will divide the room, I'm sure, on some of what you have to say, but compelling stuff nonetheless. That is Tariq Nasheed, American radio host, commentator on African-American social history.
All right, so that was it, the interview from the radio station out there in London. Let me put my Mac and music back on. Let me put my Mac and music back on, family. So you saw how that got down, right? Y'all saw how that worked. You saw how I got down with that. And that's how you talk to people when you're talking about race. What happens is that a lot of times black folks, you start talking to somebody, especially in the dominant society, about race, and then you immediately let them throw you off the narrative. They'll get you talking about gun rights, then they'll get you talking about Obama, then they'll get you talking about black on black crime. Then they'll divert you in every which way. They start talking about tokenism. They start talking about Oprah, LeBron James. They'll start talking about everything. And you always have to bring it back to white supremacy. I always bring it right back to where it needs to be. That's how you handle situations like that, family. Always bring it back to the real issue, which is systematic white supremacy, because everything they're talking about can always trickle right back down to the main cause, which is white supremacy. When they start talking about progress, how? We're in the same situation we were in 50, 60 years ago, 70 years ago, 80 years ago. We're in the same position socially. Just because we're utilizing modern technology, that's not racial progress. See, people excuse or mistake technology for progress. So instead of them making you pick cotton, they're making you sew cotton in prison. So you still got to deal with cotton, but instead of being on a plantation picking it, you're in a prison picking it or sewing it. So don't let technology confuse you. They use technology to further subjugate you. And the thing is, we got to stop being afraid to say this. See, the thing is, you got to go into these situations fearless. See, black folks, you do interviews and you get in these situations and you're fearful. You're scared to challenge white supremacy. And fear, it don't work like that. See, this whole fear thing, fear is ego-based. You know, fear is ego-based. People act fearful so that when they face an opponent that they feel that they're going to lose against, you want to save face. So it's better to just chicken out now than to be defeated by an opponent. So you would rather save face and just go ahead and chicken out early and start talking about, let's just pray on it and the Lord is going to make it better. That's ego talking. You just want to keep your little bullshit ego and lie and act like you're doing better than you're doing. We're not doing where we should be. We're not doing as good as we're supposed to be doing because we live in a system of white supremacy. This is why we got to get that code together. And I'm going to talk about this code of conduct we need on the Code of Conduct Lecture Tour. Everybody, if you're listening, right now, go to TariqLive.com. Get your tickets. I'm going to be in Philly next week. If you're in New York, D.C., Maryland, anywhere, go to Philly this Sunday. Well, not this Sunday. Sunday, July 5th. That's what I'm doing my lecture. Atlanta. I will be in Atlanta Saturday, July 11th. Get your tickets right now. If you're all over Georgia, if you're in South Carolina, get your tickets to join me Saturday, July 11th in Atlanta. And also, if you're in Detroit, July 18th, I will be in Detroit. If you're in Chicago, Cleveland, Milwaukee, come down to Detroit on July 18th. Again, get your tickets at TariqLive.com. Family, that's been today's episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. It's been real. Don't forget to go to Tariq Elite to get that fresh gear for the summer. I will holler at you on Sunday's Ustream Show, family. Peace.